First reading is from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5, beginning at chapter 4, verse 22. St. Paul said, You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord.
Second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
For the benefit of our visitors, we're following a program at the moment and called Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And it's looking at how and where we might bring well-being to those areas and those people we meet. And it's really showing how perhaps God's Spirit might live within us. And if we have that, a series of fruits may be seen. And here we are. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Last week, Ian spoke on ministering grace and love. And it was really looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. But the starting bit was when a teacher of the law asked Jesus how one might inherit eternal life. And Jesus asked him, how do you read it? How do you read it in the law? And the man said it's to love the God with all his heart, all his soul, all his strength, and his mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And the parable was following up on the second question of that, is because the teacher asked, who is my neighbour? But actually those questions are really the foundation of this whole course, and also its outworking as well. It's the foundation of our life. This morning we're looking at the next section, it's called Moulding Culture. Archbishop Derek Warlock defined culture as the way we do things around here. And you may have guessed that the way things are done around here is not always very healthy. We've had some rather bad bits in the press in the last few weeks, but it isn't only that. There's other areas of our cultures where things are just not good. And there are so many different cultures. You know, every workplace, every team, every church, every family, including James and Jade's, has its own way of doing things, you know, its own unique DNA. And it's the stories they tell, the memories they have. It's the heroes they have, it's the experiences, it's everything that they admire. Much of our inherent character is often set in our early years. You know, it's where our beliefs and values that help shape our behaviour, whether we're aware of it or not. Bringing up children, as all parents know, is a demanding task. And it's one that doesn't actually end, does it? And I'm sure that Hayden and Harrison will blossom under James and Jay's careful nurturing. But we've heard this morning that Hayden's mum and dad will need the love and support of family, parents, godparents, you know, everybody, grandparents. That's what we do. We need help and love, and we need support. Now, our reading from Ephesians talks about putting away our old self. It's like the baptismal promises of rejecting evil, turning away from sin, or things that are just not good. And also talks about being made new. And this is what is meant by turning to Jesus as Lord and Saviour. But the passage says so much. I won't read it all out again, but there are several points, and it's worth taking these in mind. It's about speaking truthfully. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Getting rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander. Being kind and compassionate, forgiving each other, being imitators of God, and living a life of love. Not being any hint of immorality or impurity. Instead, living as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and finding out what pleases the Lord. Romans 12 gives us further guidance. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We had a short passage from Matthew's Gospel, telling us that we're the light of the world, giving light to everyone in the house, so our good deeds may bring praise to our Father in heaven. Now, if our lives are to be one of light, our lives need to be real and to be full of integrity, so our deeds and actions match what we profess. Otherwise, we're not reflecting anything of any value at all. But how do we go on to perhaps try and mould or change culture? Well, several of the recent sad stories of inappropriate behaviour were because the victims were fearful of the consequences of their speaking up or just simply not being heard. And sometimes to change culture, there's a sacrifice required. For many, it will simply start by praying for an ability to see what is good or not good in the way things are done on one's front line, and then find how to seek ways to affirm or change it. It might be from having a can-do attitude, going the extra mile, so that our opinions and views are sought and respected. You know, if you're a good employee and you stand up and say, look, I'm sorry, I don't think we're doing this right, your bosses are going to listen to you. They're going to respect you because they know that haven't got an axe to grind and that you're speaking with goodness to the company in mind. It can be quite simple. You know, if you're serving on a checkout, it's having a smile. A week or so ago, we were in Sainsbury's, and a lady there said, I prefer coming at this end of the serving desk here, that people have more time, they're less hurry, and I can talk to them, I can smile to them. And it's only a small thing, but it makes a difference. You know, in giving words of encouragement, you know, seeing potential in others. If it's somebody at work, and they're really doing a good job, affirm them, give them in praise. You know, if you're a miserable git, you know, you don't cut any ice at all, do you? You know, I used to have a colleague, and we used to get loads of complaints about him. He was a surveyor, and he'd go to people's houses, and they just thought he was rude. And I just said to him, Steve, I said, why don't you just smile and say, hello, I'm Steve, you know, good morning. And all of a sudden, it disappeared. You know, it's simple things. You know, it might be just simple wanton acts of kindness. You know, it's knowing when a colleague got their birthday. It's perhaps taking some flowers you've got in the garden or whatever, bringing in spare produce. Anything that just makes a difference. It might be, like some people do, make cakes. I don't know, but but it helps, doesn't it? It just breaks down barriers. You know, it can be just being contra-cultural. It's just avoiding doing anything which is not kind or loving. You know, it's some places it's just full of gossip. You know, people just running other people down. It's, you know, it's if you've got somebody who's new in the business and they're struggling with the IT system, it's just go and have a word with them. Give them a piece of help. You know, if they're a new employee, it's just tell them where the ropes are. You know, it's just perhaps when things are difficult, and they often are, you know, it's demonstrating patience. You know, it's being gentle with people and self-control. You know, if somebody's being an absolute idiot on the phone to you, you know, you don't go away and swear or curse them. You're just kind and gentle. You know, it might be things like just picking up the litter in your street. You know, just saying warm words to people you meet when you're walking the dog. You know, or just fellow residents in the block of flats you meet. Just sort of words of pleasantry. And when we do these sort of things, often our influence is far greater than we give ourselves credit for. Those who were here last week heard a bit Eileen said. It was a couple of weeks ago I had a phone call from a lady called Tracy Leggett, who's used to be in this church here. Her dad, Phil, helps in the garden outside. And she was looking for her record of her baptism and confirmation because she's going for ordination. And I said to her, look, I'll let Eileen Locke know, because I knew Eileen knew her. And Tracy replied, I still remember so vividly at home group when I was maybe 15 or 16 years old. We're talking about 25 years ago. We were asked to name something we saw another member of the group. Eileen said she saw the Holy Spirit in me. That's a very powerful point in my faith journey. Now, Eileen had no idea of how much encouragement she'd given. So if people need encouragement, give it. For that, most of you know that I'm a surveyor, and I used to run a local office in Colchester when we had them. And our office had a reputation of just being the friendliest in the region. And I had every good reason to attribute it to the lady admin staff who were great. But at a Christmas lunch, this guy, Steve, who said it could be a wee bit tricky, suddenly came out, just blurted out, and said, "We have such a good office because Andrew is a Christian." And I was just staggered, to be honest with you. And I didn't think I'd done anything special at all. Not tried. But somebody later said to me, no matter how busy I was, I always found time to listen. And perhaps one of the most valuable things we can do is give others our time from simply by listening. And that's an opportunity to change and mould the culture in which we move. I suspect this is a skill that James and Jade are already learning, not only from the words from themselves, but also listening to how Hayden and Harrison are. You know, they will learn how their things are. At the moment, I suppose Harrison's got too many words, but his actions will tell them what's going on. And it's the same for a great gift for grandparents, is to have time to listen to their grandchildren. That's the greatest thing you can really do. It really is. I mean, you know, time is something that children appreciate more than we... It's more than gifts. It's spending time listening. Listening is very honouring. You know, it provides an opportunity to hear the hurts, the fears, the pains, and to know where love and prayers are needed. Now, for us as Christians to be truly effective and bring glory to God, we need to make sure we're listening to God himself through our reading the Bible, by prayer, and then acting on the promptings put onto our heart by the Holy Spirit. We might then follow Paul's words to the Colossians in clothing ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiving any grievances, and to bind all these in love. So I'll just close with a short prayer. Father, may all our front lines, in the home, with family, and in the workplace, become a place of joy and peace. Give us ears to hear how we might pray, eyes to see what you have us do, and wisdom to do it in your ways. For your glory, may it be. Amen.